Amen. Everybody take a big, deep breath. Do you know that's a gift from God that we get to do that every morning? I think the older we get, the more we realize that it's a gift, right? Because someday we won't be breathing the air down here, we'll be breathing the air up there. It's going to be a better spot up there, but I still want to see my grandkids grow up. So I'm not itching to get there, but I'm excited to get there. How about you? Same thing? All right. Well, I do want to start by thanking you all. I know Pastor Kev was telling me that it's amazing what Facebook and everything gets around. And, you know, I was stuck in a hospital and had a serious infection in my hand. The doctor said it's one of the serious ones he's ever seen. And I'm a very frugal person. We have a deductible policy. And I was going, I don't want to go to the doctor. But I had lines going up my arm and my hand was swollen up twice the size. And so they put me in there, and then I was just trying to get out with just the ER. I just wanted to just give me an IV, and then I'm out of here. And they go, no, 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 you need to be here for a couple of days. And I go, I don't want to be here a couple of days. I'm just adding up the dollars. He said it was pretty serious. We had a girl in Pullman die because her body went septic, and she was 20 years old. And I just didn't get on it fast enough. And then when all of a sudden the lines going up here were about that wide, and I had two of them going all the way up to here, and they were hot and hurting, finally convinced me, all right, I'm going to stay for a couple of days, check in. Although I will have to say, though, that they were going to put me in this one room, from ER in this one room, what do they call it, Carrie?
Telementary.
It's kind of between the critical and just ordinary folks, you know, but it's an upgraded suite. And so when they told me I was going to go into that one, I said, I don't want this room. I believe this room costs more than I want mine without a jacuzzi. So give me a lower graded room. I had to wait 3 more hours to get downgraded into a room. Finally got the room, and we were happy, got all the junk out of me. And my hand blistered up pretty good, lost all the skin and stuff around here, but it's all back now. It's good as new. And I want to really, really thank you. God answered prayer, and He answered your prayers. And I can't tell you what it feels like to be, you know, 300 miles away, well, actually 600 miles in Boise at the time, visiting my mom who has pancreatic cancer. We were trying to take care of her, and I was out for 3 or 4 days. But I want to thank you so much for your prayers. I don't take it lightly. That when God's people start praying, God does some amazing things. And when we gather together like that, it's like a huge army fighting that. And it wasn't just the antibiotics that were fighting this. It was all of your prayers that were going after and fighting this thing and allowed me to stay alive a little bit longer. So I really, really, really gratefully thank you for your prayers. What a privilege it is to be here. I've been here a couple of times. My mentor, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Carl, and Pastor Sherry have mentored me through my younger years of life, and they still keep mentoring me. I guess at some point it goes from mentoring. I wonder if it ever turns to tormenting. No, it's just mentoring. It's just mentoring. So always a privilege also to see him at the conference that we get to go to twice a year now at the fellowship, and so it's a blast to connect with them and like I'm connecting with you. I get all the up-to-date data on all you guys, so it's like, you know, I'm not real good on Facebook, but I'm real good face-to-face, so we do our Facebook face-to-face. So this morning I want to talk to you about a kind of an interesting subject, and my family, you know, usually I go to preach someplace, you preach a message you've already preached. I've not preached this message. As a matter of fact, Aaron Schluter is probably preaching a similar message back home today. We kind of worked on this message, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to preach a different message because I want to keep the kids awake. alive. I want to talk about faith like a child. Faith like a child. I'm going to talk about children today. And I go, God, I'm going to be in Port Ludlow. It's a retirement community. I don't think it's an appropriate message to talk about children in a retirement community. And he said the same thing. He must have been reading your mail. He said, oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is, because God talked about children. Now, we just did you know that he talks about children? There are about 32,000 verses in the Bible. 1,736 verses talk about children. That's one out of every 18 verses are going to talk about kids. Every page should say something about the word child or children on it. So the concept is very, very, very important to God. And I think we get so many concepts about the Bible, all try to figure things out. We try to find stuff out. We try to find the keys to prosperity or the keys to success, or the seven habits of successfulness and all of that stuff. And how do you live right before God? And God goes, listen, dude, it ain't that complicated. There is no great secret and figure this out. And all it's very, very simple. He said, be like a little child. Let's make it simple. Let's make it really, really simple. We just had our vacation Bible school. We do it at between 6 and 8 at night. Some do it in the afternoon. We do it between 6 and 8 because we figure more parents are home and can bring their kids then. And we had about 125 kids come to our vacation Bible school. They were awesome. They're in our main sanctuary, okay? And they're in there with beach balls, kicking them all over the place, having fun, laughing, running through the place, smiling ear to ear, singing songs about Jesus. And I thought, wow, what a great place to have kids running around right in the church, loving the church, thinking this is the greatest place to be because it's fun to be in here rather than it's old and it's codgy and it's dark and you got to shut up. And although we have been trying to keep them quiet this whole time, I realize it's a lot easier for me when I'm up on the platform. And normally during worship, they all come running forward, and so that's why they kind of came this time. You saw Joey, though. Joey, he loves to jump. Where's Joey at? Is he? Joey, come on over here, buddy. Joey loves to jump around. He loves to worship. But honestly, Tommy's a great worship leader. He's hi, honey. How are you? He's a great worship leader. And this little guy loves to worship, too. He takes a little fake guitar with a little spinny thing that makes, because we do, when we did family devotions, Tommy would lead us in prayer, and he would play along with us like that. He would lead all the kids in worship. And I'll tell you, do you like to worship?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
That's the right song that my dad makes.
Does he make that song?
Yeah.
Yes. But the thing about him is that when he jumps around up, you saw him jumping, and his pants went lower and lower and lower. And lower. It's just the style these days. They just wear their pants lower than they used to. You know, back then you wore them way up to here, you know, and now they wear them where they're about ready to fall off. I don't know why, but that's what we do. But we had a great time. We had a number of kids give their life to Christ. We had a parent give their life to Christ. We had so many wonderful and outstanding and exciting things. The kids just loved being there. Prayers. They offered a prayer request. They wanted us to pray for everything. You know, they don't sit there and think, well, that deserves God praying for it, and this doesn't. They just want to pray for everything. I don't care if it's about their little doggy or this or that, or it doesn't make any difference. Everything goes to God in prayer. So I was thinking about this scripture. It's found in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 11. That's where we're going to be this morning. If you've got your Bibles, Matthew 18, 1 through 11. Let me give you a little context here. If they talk a little bit, does that bother you? It doesn't bother me because I'm louder than they are. But now, you got the context here is in verse 17 or chapter 17, just a little bit before this, Jesus was talking about his death. Then a few verses later in 17:24, he's talking about taxes. Two things that Jesus talked about were death and taxes. All of us have to go through death and taxes. And so he was talking about those things. And then he comes to verse chapter 18. He's talking about kids. He says this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest then in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to finish this passage and I'll come back and we'll talk about it. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to the man by whom the offenses comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. And cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet being cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out! Cast it out from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels, I think they must have guardian angels here, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Let me just give some thoughts about this passage here. Well, the disciples must have been doing something because they're asking a question. It seems like a collective question because he gives an answer to the collective body here. So they're chatting about who's the greatest. And, you know, it's funny, you get around kids and people, and everybody wants to know what's the top. Everybody's looking for what's the top. Who's the top dog? What's the head, you know? And so they're asking, who's the greatest? You know, what is the greatest? Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he's answering this question. And I can imagine the disciples out back there, they're probably betting on who it was. I'm sure a few of them probably said, Abraham. He's going to say, who's the greatest? Abraham, you know, because he started this whole thing off, man. I mean, he's the father of us all here. So surely it's Abraham. And I'm sure others were putting their money on David because David, he has a heart after God. So God, he's got to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that there are a few of them, maybe James and John, the sons of thunder, they were probably voting for themselves. They were thinking that maybe it'd be one of them. He's going to say, why, James and John's, these thunderous people over here, they're the greatest. Right? Just be like them. And you're kind of wondering, why were they asking the question? I wonder if they were maybe asking the question because they were going, who do we follow our pattern our life after? Who should we be like? What should we be like? If we want to be great in your kingdom, what should we be like? And Jesus, I love the way he answers stuff because he always answers the opposite of what you ever think he's going to answer. He answers stuff in such a way you go, oh, that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You're going, what? He begins to answer it and he tells them, what would be the greatest? And can you imagine, Carly, is Carly there? Carly, come up here. Come up here. Jesus is out there and he's talking to the disciples and he's trying to tell them what it's like. And so he gets one kid out of the crowd, and he's talking to his disciples, and he puts one little kid on his knee, and he says, you want to know who the greatest is? If you want to be great, he says, first of all, you need to be converted. I'll talk about that in a moment. And then you need to be like, what? No, not a child, a little child. You know, because we're always getting children to grow up, aren't we? Hey, you grow up. Grow up. Get better. Act your age. I mean, well, I'm only three. I mean, it's you're always trying to get them to grow up, act better, and do all that. But I like what Jesus says. Be like a, not a child, be like a little child. Be like a little one. A little innocent one. How are you today?
Great.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, Grandpa loves you very, very much. I have seven grandkids and one on the way. I'm so thankful. You're looking at me going, you can't have grandkids. I had my, I love Fort Ludlow. One of the reasons, I don't know if I told the story last night. Did I tell you this story? We were going yard sailing. So we did yard sailing, and I was with my son Creighton, who has a baby, has my grandson, okay, Noah. And so we were there. We went into this one retirement section, you know, and so it was an older lady. She's selling all of her stuff. And so my son goes up there looking at stuff, and I come up there and I go, hey, did you find anything? And she looks at my son and says, oh, is this your brother? I told the lady, I'll take everything you have here. I'll take it all. But then when she picked up that white cane and started walking, I kind of understood that maybe that's why she didn't quite get it. But Jesus pulls him out of the crowd, pulls a little one out of the crowd and says, be like this little one. You want to be great in my kingdom? You've got to be like a little child. And they're all thinking, Abraham, David, hey, John and James, you know. No. Here's what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. To be like a little child. Why would he say that? Can I have a kiss on my cheek? Oh, I love you, honey. Now, you probably want to know why I have eight grandkids. It's because, you know, my kids got married at 18, 19, and 19. So, and then they were prolific. And so they took it literally. Go and multiply. And so they have done that, thinking they're doing a commission from God. So that's good. It's awesome. I love it. I want to give five directives from this little passage. It kind of gives us five directives. And the first directive in here about is it says that we must be converted, right? Now, being converted is a God thing. You can't go convert yourself, can you?
No.
You can't go, I'm going to convert. I mean, you can make a decision to, but God does a supernatural thing inside of you that converts you, that allows the heaven to be opened up to you because you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life, right? So it's a God thing. First thing that has to happen is you can't decide, hey, I'm going to go be converted. You can decide I'm going to accept Christ, but He has to do the conversion. He has to do this powerful, awesome thing that takes a person, and that word be converted means to twist or turn around or reverse. It means to strepo. It means to turn around and walk a different direction. He's saying, hey, listen, the way you're walking in your natural life isn't the way I want you to walk. Forever, I want you to turn around and have a spiritual life that will also be a natural life. It'll be a natural and spiritual life because they're not different, are they? Do you have a natural life and a spiritual life?
Yeah.
We have, but it's all one though, right? You have a natural life and a spiritual, but it's all to be one life. You don't go out here and go, hi, I'm natural out here and you're out partying and go over here and now I'm in church being spiritual. That's what the world says. My gosh, you guys are two-faced. You're hypocrites. Because you do one thing there and a different thing there. No, you're supposed to do the same thing out there when you're partying. You party good. Let me tell you, I love to party. I live for party. I work to play. I mean, that's why, people like work so they can work some more. I want to work so I can play. I want to go skiing or have fun with the kids or go do something fun. I mean, so I like both sides here. But he said, you need to be converted. You need to be changed. God does something, all right? God does something in your life. Want to be great? Let God do something in your life. Let Him transform you. Let Him change you. Let Him turn you around as you give your life to Him. The second thing is what you do. Second thing he said is, you got to be like what? Big children? Grown-up children? Really smart children? Little. Teeny, weeny, little children. That's what Jesus said. He wants us to be like little children. Not big, not grown up. So I want to give you five thoughts in the midst of these other five I'm giving you. I'm making this really complicated. If I had it on the projector, it would be very simple for you. But I didn't do it. Because I just got this, so it's... But I wanted to read, think about these five attributes of kids. I put five together. You think about kids. When you think about a little child, what are some of the attributes you think? What do you think? Innocence. What else? Trusting. Gullible. Dependent. All right. What else? Multiple. Oh, moldable. I guess in your case, they are multiple. So, there's multiple. Moldable. Yeah, they are moldable. They're loving. What else? What else about little children?
Inquisitive.
Awesome. What else? What about little kids? Wild and daring. They jump around, let their pants fall off, and they don't care. Do they? His pants are falling off. He didn't care to pull them up. He only cared to pull them up when he couldn't walk. You know, we were going, oh my gosh, put your pants up. Oh, they live it in. You got to put their hair down, and you got to do all that stuff. They don't care. They're accepting. He said, be like, he wanted to get us thinking, what is a little child like? I love this at our vacation Bible school. Some kids wrote some stuff, and he said here, I'm reading, one first grader told his mom that God gave him a picture of God's love for him. When he asked to describe it, he said he couldn't. It's too big, and it goes on forever and ever, like a circle that goes around and around and around. When a child described Jesus, he said he's a man with long hair and he smiles a lot. You know, if you want to be Jesus to children, you better grow your hair out. No. You better smile a lot. You know, kids ran to Jesus, you know why? And that was before he had candy. They come running to me, you know why? I have candy. I have candy. They come running to me because I have candy. Jesus didn't even have candy. He had to do with the sweetness of who he was, not with what he gave them. Okay, so this other one I thought was really funny. He says, during Bible story time last night, the teacher leading the Bible story asked, does anyone know what a parable is? A little boy raised his hand, and he said, and he was called on, and he said, a parable is something really, really bad. No, that wasn't the right answer. A little girl was called on. She said, it's like when you're in the woods and a tornado comes. That's terrible. Apparently, the words parable and terrible sound awful similar to children. So they're thinking, what's a parable? Oh, it's when everything goes bad. I mean, it's because that's terrible. Kids, they just view things differently, right? I mean, you look at a kid and go, why can't you integrate this equation? Most of us can't integrate an equation, can we? I mean, I took ordinary differential equations, so I... Anyway. It's five characteristics. Let me give them to you. Number one, you already said them. I'm gonna reiterate them as I have them down here. Number one, children are joyful, aren't they? Aren't they happy? They naturally gravitate towards play. They're lighthearted. You know, they took kids in a prison camp. They didn't even know that they were in the prison camp. And they go out and find a stick and they start playing with the stick. They're out there playing in the prison camp and have no idea of the faith that's there for them. Because they automatically move towards that which is lighthearted. They move towards laughter. They move towards fun. They love life. There's this great joy, lighthearted. They don't take life so seriously. They just plain smile a lot, don't they? Kids smile a lot. I think God, thinking about us being like little children, I think God would like His children, us, to be more joyful in what we do. You know that children laugh? A child 4 years old, will laugh 300 times a day. A person 40 years old, they said, laughs 4 times a day. Now they did some more research and said, well, maybe it's like 12 to 15 times a day. Well, that's still far short of the 300 times a little kid will laugh. He will enjoy life. He will laugh. He will enjoy what's in front of him. Instead of worrying about everything, he simply just laughs. I was reading an article about we need to raise our laugh quota for the day. You need to laugh a little bit more every day. Just laugh. I mean, sometimes in the middle of something, when someone's talking to you, just start laughing. And they'll think you're crazy. And you just go, hey, I'm sorry, I'm just raising my laugh quota. Okay, quota. I'm supposed to be like a little child. I figure a little child would just laugh right now at this situation. So, laugh. We gotta laugh a little bit more. We gotta take life not too seriously, but enjoy it. Enjoy all the stuff. We're always telling kids, shh, shh. We've done it all the whole time. Shh, 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 shh. When they start laughing, giggling, shh. When they're backseat and they're having a blast and they're giggling and laughing, what do we say? Shh. Why? What's so, you have to concentrate on driving? I mean, you just hold the wheel, move forward. I mean, they're just back here having fun. You're back here doing all that stuff. They got to sit in the doggone car. They're going, hey, can we laugh a little bit? No, shh, be quiet. Shut up. I mean, I think Jesus would go, if he were driving, he'd go, hey, laugh some more. Give some, hey, got any great jokes? I mean, he would be having them laughing back there in the back seat. Okay? I'm just saying we got to raise our laugh quotient. We got to enjoy life. We got to laugh, not shush the kids. Now, one of the things I like to do with our kids is I like to say this. Hey, kids, what time is it? All right, come on up here. They know when it's candy time. All right, here, grab one. Candy, can you bring that rest it up there to me? Grab one. Okay, take yellow. What color do you want? Okay, take that one. All right, go ahead. All right, you go back to the seat. He's going, I don't know what I want to do. I want to maybe take some more. Okay. Now, for all the rest of you, let me see that little bucket there. Most places they take up an offering in this, but we actually give an offering back. So if you need some candy to lighten up a little bit, grab some of that. Pass that around. Take some. If you need to take one or two or three or five or 10 or 15, believe me, we have plenty there. So grab some. If you're worried about your teeth, don't worry. Because it's too late. It's gone. We're done. Secondly, let me read this. Laughter changes us. I was reading this article on the internet just last night. Laughter changes us in the loveliest of ways. Laughter changes us in the loveliest of ways. Please take a lot. Now, I know you, put it in your pockets, all right? You want to take them and put them in your pocket. Do you like candy? Take some, man. Put it in your pocket. Take a bunch. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Be like the guy, you know, he struck the arrows 3 times and he should have just counted it forever, you know, that... Anyway, that one story. But anyway. It says here, laughter changes us in the loveliest of ways. When we lighten up, we feel more positive and optimistic, more hopeful and engaged. were friendlier, more resourceful, more attractive, and more radiantly alive. Wouldn't you like to be all those things?
Yeah.
Then laugh! Let's do it right here. Let's practice. Absolutely. Listen, if I don't do a message, you don't laugh four or five times, I feel like I've lost. You know, it's done. We need to laugh. I'm sure Jesus had them rolling at the campfire. I can't imagine some of the stories he must have told. And let me tell you about the guy with the leper, the deaf leper. I mean, he just told stories. All right. I haven't had time to practice this message. This is just... Anyway. Secondly, I'm not done here. What time is it now? Laughing is contagious. You don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing, said Michael Pritchard. Secondly, children are compassionate, aren't they? I mean, as a matter of fact, the way they abduct kids is a guy comes and says, I lost my puppy, could you help me find him? And the kids go, oh, you lost your puppy? They are so compassionate. And people use that against them. But they're compassionate. You know what I loved yesterday? Pastor Carl was out on the front deck just by himself. And Carly, stand up. And Carly and Kaylee, they go running up here. Come up and give your grandpa or your great-grandpa a big hug. He was sitting out there on the couch. Or he was just sitting in his chair. And both of them came because they know when they found out what was that he has terminal cancer and not long to live, they just lost it. And so the last couple of times we've come here, they've been very, 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 very compassionate. And they go up to him and they climb right in his lap, get right up here on his cheek, kiss him on his cheek, and just sit there and pat him on his back and feel this great sense of compassion because they don't want to lose their great grandpa. They have compassion. They make you feel. They bring out feelings inside of you because they have this compassion for somebody else. This compassion that goes beyond them. Want to be like a little child? Have compassion on people. Don't turn your head, but move out into people's lives and let them know how much you love them and how much you care about them. And if you want to see your church grow, continue to reach out to people who need Jesus Christ in powerful ways. You show them compassion, they will come running. Thirdly, children believe what you say, don't they? You talk about gullible, or they just believe. You tell them something, and they'll believe it, right? You tell them, hey, the moon's made out of green cheese. They go, wow, really? That's a lot of cheese. I mean, they believe you. They believe what you say. Now, we shouldn't lie to our children. That's why we never told them about Santa Claus. We told them he was a fat man in a red suit. We didn't want them to, first of all, we didn't want them to tell them a lie that there was a Santa Claus. But secondly, when those presents were out there in the house and they saw all these presents, I didn't want some fat man thinking getting the credit for that. I want them to know, your dad did that. Your mom paid for these things here. Thank us, all right? I mean, we want you to thank, not a fat guy flying around on a sled somewhere. Thank us. We did this. Okay? So anyway, I'm sure that was selfish. But anyway, it was what we wanted. They believe what you say. Do we believe what God says to us? Do we believe what He says? Yeah, we do. Do you believe when He says something that seems so far out there or far-fetched? Do you believe? You see, here's what happens. Children believe what we say. We believe what we see. Children believe what you say, but we believe what we see. And let me give you a little story. I'll tell myself on this one. And I can't believe this, but I did this. When my hand was done, I had five different doctors look at my hand, didn't we? Nine different doctors look at my hand. I go, what's the deal with the hand? I had a hand surgeon come and look at it. And he was looking at it going, and he goes, oh yeah, it looks pretty good so far, but if it abscesses, if there's an abscess that happens there, we're going to have to go do surgery. And I go, oh, surgery? Like we just go in your office and you just lance it? And he goes, oh no. We put you out on the table at the hospital and all that. And I'm just thinking, cha-ching, 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 ching, ching. And so I'm going, oh my gosh, Lord, don't let that happen. So I go, they get, finally get out of the hospital after 3 days of antibiotics, and I go home and I take an oral antibiotics, and all of a sudden I see it looks like a little white dot right there, and I go, oh, I'm sure that's just the skin changing color. The next day it got bigger, then it got to be about the size of a dime on there, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I had to go back to the doctor that next day. And as I'm getting ready to go back to the doctor, I'm asking the Lord, I'm going, Lord, I don't want to pay for this. First of all, I don't want to go for how long it's going to take now that you have surgery in there, and how many days is, I mean, weeks and months is that going to be? And so God goes, you're not going to have an abscess. You're not going to have surgery. And I look at it and I go, but it looks like I'm going to have surgery. I'm having this conversation with God just like this, but it looks like that. And he goes, you walk by, not by, faith, not by. Okay, why don't you do that? You're like a pastor, all right? You tell everybody else this. Why don't you practice what you preach, all right? I mean, it's just, you know, you're just going. And so I'm sitting there going, all right, I believe that. And then I'm going, but Lord, it's getting bigger. He's going, you're not going to have surgery. And I go, really? I mean, honest? I'm just telling you honestly on my conversation. Really? But it's getting bigger. What do you want to believe for? I mean, we're having this little chat here. What do you want to believe for? Well, I don't want to have surgery. He goes, well, then believe for that. You're not going to have surgery. And I go, okay. And then I wake up the next day and go, but it's getting bigger. He's going, listen, I'm going to teach you something. If you don't have to have surgery, will you start believing me from now on? I go, yeah, all right, I will. And then it gets bigger. And then I go to the doctor. And then when I go to the doctor, they look at it and I'm going, wow, does that mean surgery? Is that surgery? I mean, I'm this man of faith. Is that surgery? That looks surgery material to me. Look at that white thing right there. It's a pus pocket. There's crud in there. And the lady looks at it and goes, oh, let me feel it. She goes, oh, you know what? It doesn't have a core. You don't see the real core. It's more like a blister. Let me just lance that and see if we can get all the junk came out. She goes, oh, I think you're going to be fine. When the doc says, I think you're going to be fine, God goes, I got out of the hospital and I thought, I was so embarrassed. I got out of the doctor's office. I'm walking to my car and I'm literally embarrassed. I'm just going, wow, God, I'm a great man of faith. I believe whatever you say. And really he said, and the thing he said to me is, will you start believing for more rather than what you see? Would you start believing what I say? I'll tell you what, if we start walking that way, and again, I'm the greatest offender here. We need to walk by faith, not by sight, and believe what our Father God tells us. The next thing here is children don't mind being vulnerable. I think somebody said it over here too. They don't mind being vulnerable, do they? They don't mind it by saying, hey, I need help. I'm dependent. Hey, can you help me? I need to go potty. I mean, all of these things. They don't care. They're not ashamed. They ask. Do we ask? Are we vulnerable with where we're really at? What we're really feeling, where our guts are really at? Are we vulnerable to the point that we'll ask Him and we're dependent upon Him and that we make it known to Him? Finally, here I say that children are simple. They're not complex. They're very simple. Very simple things going on in their life. Very simple approaches to life. They don't have this complex theory and all of that stuff and the fourth toe and the beast and all of that's going on in their head. They simply go, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's good. And you know what? That's how we need to walk. We need to walk a simple life. We're trying to figure out so many things out of the Scriptures. We don't even walk in the ones we've already know. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't study. We should study. I love to study. I write commentary. I love them. I love all that stuff. But Jesus was talking to us and He said this, be like a little child. Be simple. Keep it simple. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, sweetheart. I mean, it's keep it simple. The next thing here, He asks them to humble themselves. He says, like this child who's humbled themselves, do we humble ourselves? Are we willing to make ourselves low? The way up is the way down. You've heard many times the expression, when are you going to grow up? But Jesus wanted them to grow down, get lower, be more vulnerable. You know, we've always heard the expression, you know, you're too big for your britches. You heard that? You think you're too big for your britches. God wants us too little for our britches. Too little. Like Pastor Carl, he's getting to be too little for his britches. His pants are falling down. I mean, he's walking around, we're having to pull his up. I mean, he's getting so small. We don't want to be too big for our britches. We want to get smaller. You know, thinking of getting smaller, when Pastor Sherry talked about her ring, you know, she's losing all this weight, so they're falling off. And this is really a beautiful ring. Rings. There's a plethora there. You should see this ring. It's really, can I have that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, you heard her. You heard her. I get it.
No.
Okay, this is a beautiful ring. How do you lose that? I mean, when that falls off, it goes, kaboom! I mean, mine falls, it goes, ding. This one goes, doing. I mean, it's a beautiful ring. Now, this is an interesting story. Thinking about it coming off, you know, she told you she found it in the fridge. She didn't tell how she found it in the fridge. Can I tell the story? The way she found it in the fridge was this way. Catania, now think about how God had to set us all up. He knew that she's going to be freaking out. We're all looking everywhere. We've torn the house apart 4 or 5 times, the car apart, everything looking for this thing, okay? We're over here wanting a vacation with them, enjoy the time, and we're looking everywhere for a ring. Okay? Well, it's a beautiful ring. Well, so she goes, you said you found it in the fridge. She didn't tell you how. Well, the reason she found it in the fridge is the main fridge, it wasn't the main fridge, it was in the side fridge. The side fridge out there. And the side fridge, the reason it was in the side fridge is Catania had made this really great raspberry jam. I love raspberry jam. It was just a little jar. And so when Sherry got the raspberry jam, she goes, I love raspberry jam too. It's very important to me. I love raspberry jam. And so she took the raspberry jam and said, you know what? I don't want any of all these other kids eating my raspberry jam. Especially Courtney, because Courtney will scarf it down. Look at her. Look at her. She's getting fatter and fatter each and every day. I keep telling her, lay off the chocolate. It does that to you. So here's what happened. She's in there taking the jam, goes to the secondary fridge, and goes, I have to hide it in here somewhere. So she reaches way back and pushes a bunch of stuff aside in order to hide it. And then she pushes all the stuff aside in order to hide it. There's the ring sitting right there. Now, is that crazy or what? Can you imagine God had to tell Catania, you're going to have to make some jam because your old grandma is losing it. And she's going to need some help, so make this jam, because then she's not going to want to share the jam. And because she doesn't want to share the jam, she's going to find her ring that you will give her and all that stuff. She wasn't supposed to share the jam. No, honestly, Tanya gave me some jam too. I hid it in my refrigerator too. So I'm just telling you, I did the same thing because I love raspberry jam. Raspberry jam was like God's gift to us. Strawberry jam was like the devil's. I mean, the devil's got strawberry jam. All right. We're supposed to be like little kids. We're supposed to laugh some. Hopefully we've laughed a little bit here. Laugh. And then he goes on to say that you must receive. You must receive this little child. He tells you that you're supposed to receive this little child. And receive, I think, has to deal with this idea of relationship. When you receive something, and you receive this person here, he says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. We got to have this relationship. He's after relationship here. He's after us receiving other people so that we understand relationship this way also means relationship this way. And we need relationship. We need relationship. It's important to us. And then I said this. Do we treat children as we would treat Jesus? Or do we push them aside because we have more important things to do or think about, or you name it, what's on your list, that we go by little children, but not just little children. We go by all sorts of people. Maybe that is the problem. We do treat children the way we treat Jesus. Step aside, Jesus. Go. Jesus, I got stuff to do. I got more important business to take care of right now. Not now, Jesus. Do we let him interfere with our life because we have relationship? I'm going to speed through that second section. I was going to talk to you a little bit about it. It's the section where you kind of wonder why they put it in there. He's talking about little children. He's got a little child on his lap right here. and he's telling them all these great stories, and then he tells them about how important it is not to sin. I think that's the issue there, but it's funny because it's like a R-rated thing happening right here with a little kid on his knee. He says, okay, and if any of you sin, hack off your hand! Cut it off! Oh, and if you see something, you know, poke out your eye! Be like a little child. I mean, and this little kid's going, ah! Wow, Jesus, I don't know how you did that. I'm sure he pulled it off, but it's like an R-rated deal going on right there. It's like out of a mafia movie all of a sudden. He's got a kid on his knee. Tell him to rip out your eye and cut off your hand. I mean, I don't know. I mean, whenever I read the scripture, I always think about stuff. I go, well, that sounds kind of weird. You know, I mean, he's just like, wow. I'm sure he said, cover up your ears, children, and then talk to the rest of them probably. You know how we do. But I think the point there, what he was saying is, you know, sin is awful and it will kill you. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Then at the end here he says, do not despise. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you, that in heaven their angels will always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Don't despise. Don't despise. He's trying to say, you know what's great? What's great is not what you think is great. What's great are these innocent little kids. Because that's what the kingdom of God is. Learn to be like a little kid. Take life a little easier. Enjoy it. Laugh a bunch. Be dependent. Believe what I say. Trust me. Be like a little child. My final observation here as we close. It's interesting that children resemble the image of their parents, don't they? Look at your grandkids and your kids and all, you go, oh, look, he walks like Bob. I mean, he walks like his dad. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, you got all those expressions because he walks like him, talks like him, or looks like him and all that. Courtney was telling me we were doing something and what were we doing? We were eating dinner and I said something really stupid, you know, like, I don't know, what did I say? It was just something crazy the way I was talking. He goes, just something stupid. And she goes, you're just like your son. I mean, he would say it the same way, same stupid way that you say it. And I go, well, thank you. That's a compliment, I guess. Children resemble the image of their parents. You know why? Because it's in their DNA. It's programmed in there. The way they walk, it's kind of programmed in there. The way they look, it's kind of programmed in there because of the DNA. You know, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, God put His DNA inside of you, and you are like Him. Whether you like it or not, you are like Him. And we're supposed to walk like Him, and we're supposed to talk like Him, and we're supposed to bounce little kids on our knees like Him, and we're supposed to love like Him, and have compassion like Him, and believe like Him. We're supposed to be like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Son. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Because we are like Jesus. We're His kids. And He's just reminding us, be little kids. Enjoy your life. Enjoy what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Kids, flock to Him because they love Him so much. Let them flock to you. Because you're such a lover. What is your action step to resemble the image of your Heavenly Father? What's your action step to resemble the image of your Heavenly Father? Do you need to be converted? Are you here and don't know Jesus? First thing you need to get is DNA. You need Christ inside of you. Do you need to be more humble and humble yourself? You're too arrogant. You walk around, people go, wow, I don't want to be around him. So arrogant, got his nose in the air. Or do they like being around you because you're a good person, a humble person, a lovable person? You need to lighten up and laugh a little bit more. Be like a little child. Laugh more. Be more compassionate. Believe what God says. Be more vulnerable. Be more simple about life. Jesus has not invited us to figure out a complicated, successful pattern of living in order to become great. Say it one more time. Jesus has not invited us to figure out a complicated, successful pattern of living in order to be great. He has invited us to relate with Him like a little child. That is what makes you and I great in His kingdom. God bless you guys. Pastor Kev.
Woo-hoo!
He loves the little children of the church. The church is His heart. That's who we are. What a glorious time we've had in the house of the Lord this morning. A great time. We get to be kids before the Lord. We get to be His kids. Isn't that the greatest privilege? If you're here this morning, you've not given your life to the Lord. He loves you so much. We urge, we invite, the Lord commands. We just say it nicer. He says, come. We'll be up here and honored to pray with you as we close. If you need healing in your body, come with faith believing. Jesus will minister to you. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you want to talk to the Lord and you want some help doing that, we'll be here to do that as well. What a great God. Amen. Let's thank the Vances again for being here with us this morning. Thank you all. You're a guest with us this morning. We're grateful that you're here. We invite you back every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We'll be right here worshiping Him. Let's go to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for being King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We do make it awfully complicated sometimes, but you're the one who died, who was buried, who rose again, because you love us. We love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. We yield to you. We surrender to you. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength and our portion this day. Now bless each one who's been here in the house of the Lord. And as we go forward this day, we'll remember these things that you've put on our hearts. We say, blessed is he and she and they who come in the name of the Lord. Bless the dancers. Those of you around them, lay hands upon them. Bless them, Lord. In fact, why don't you guys come on up? Pastor Phil, Pastor Kerry especially, why don't you come on up? Bring up your whole family, and we're going to surround them. They go into the next couple of weeks. They go into fall. Can you believe it's almost August? They're in Pullman, Washington, which is the home of the famous Cougars. Now, Pastor Phil is living dangerously because he was a U of I. What are they? Vandal. Anyway, they cover them. Let's all reach out our hands. Come on up. Let's lay hands on them. Father, we thank you for this family before the Lord. We thank you for their faith. We thank you for their love for you and their love for one another. Lord, we thank you that they embody the presence of Jesus, and now we send them forth with blessing, the blessing of the Lord, even as they go into a new fall, a new year. Lord Jesus, moved by your Spirit, the longing of their heart is to see your revival burst out in Pullman and Moscow and the entire region, and multitude of students and townspeople come to Jesus. Lord, pack out the place and let the Spirit of the Lord be upon them richly and continue upon them. Let fresh favor be theirs. We pronounce it, we proclaim it, we prophesy it in the name of Jesus. Fresh favor, even as they go into this brand new year. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, as you just... right where you are, just stand in place and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Go forth with the joy of the Lord. Thanks for being here. And let this day be celebration in Jesus. God bless you.